On today's Own Your Intuition show, we are going to talk about plant allies or guides, how to identify yours, and ways of incorporating or developing a more sacred relationship with your plant allies that is timely for spring.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.
Do you crave clarity and insight? Do you sense that your intuition is trying to tell you important things, but you have a hard time trusting it? Do you want access to your own internal wisdom and to understand how it operates so that you can guide your life in ways that are meaningful and satisfying? Well then, welcome. I'm glad you are here. I'm your host, Aimée Cartier. I've been a professional psychic since around 2007. I'm the author of the book Getting Answers, Using Your Intuition to Discover Your Best Life. I've been teaching others to understand and use their own intuitive and empathic abilities for more than a decade. Join me each week for true stories and tools that will inspire you to take seriously your own inner knowing, that internal sense that you have uniquely tailored to you and designed to not only set you on the roads that are best for you, but also help you avoid the ones that are treacherous. It's time for you to own your intuition.
Welcome. Because it is spring, this seems like a great time to do an episode on plant helpers or our plant guides. Why? Because you can plant them. Everyone has ethereal guides, otherwise known as spirit guides. They can come in all shapes and forms. And hopefully sometime in the near future, I'll be doing another episode on some other aspects of your guides. But the point I want to make here today is that plants can also be spirit guides. I mean, we all know that plants can be medicine, right? I would think that that is common knowledge. Plants are actually what help us live and breathe. We couldn't really live but for the energy they gift us in food. And of course, the trees are instrumental in providing us clean oxygen. And they help us heal. They are what makes up the supplements you take. For example, I have this supplement called, it's called like cortisol something. I got it from my naturopath sometime when I was going through a stressful moment in my life. When she gave it to me, she told me that it's basically the plant Tulsi, also known as holy basil. I'm going to tell you a story about Tulsi in a minute. But whether we ingest them through teas, our food, or they have been made into pills, plants are healers. Because we know them as such, we can also cultivate relationships with them. And some people do this very naturally. There are whole traditions dedicated to medicinal plants. Whether you have a lot of plant medicine show up for you depends on who you are. For example, one of my previous students is a seed farmer. That is her business and love, growing plant seeds for others. You can imagine that she is likely to have a whole host of plant allies, and that this is a way she likely frequently gets messages. She has a love for plants and is around them all the time. If this is you, you are likely to receive messages and knowing or guidance from our plant allies. Just like animal guides, plants can also be symbols for things that you know you need or that would serve you. They can be used to gently point you to a particular direction or technique for going about something or to reveal something about yourself or the situation to you. And as I mentioned, they can also be active components to healing and giving your physical body what it needs. A few years ago, I was visiting Wild Dreams Farm. It's the seed farm of my friend and previous student, Jen Williams. When we got to a patch of her garden, I was like, what is that smell? It was over the top heavenly to me. She said, that's Tulsi, and pointed out the patch in the ground. As I bent down to smell it, I am sure I said something like, oh my gosh, that is so good. But what was going on internally for me was more akin to, I want to roll around in here. I want to lay in here for hours without getting up. I feel like I want to just live in this patch of earth with this Tulsi for a week and maybe forever. Truly, that is how I felt. I had never experienced this plant growing in the ground. I had had teas with Tulsi in it, and they had sometimes been my favorite teas during certain parts of my life. But experiencing it live in the ground was something that was new to me. It sung to me. It called to me. Of course, I told Jen as much, and we had a little laugh about it. But that moment is how I knew Tulsi was medicine for me. Chamomile and mugwort are also like that to me. When I think of them, I wish I could just exist in a vat of them, or at least have one close by that I could dip into at any time. I have a friend who feels that way about St. John's wort. I have heard it said that sometimes an herbalist will steep herself in an herb that she is called to, eat it, make oil to use on her body, and even dream with it under her pillow. Again, this makes sense to me, knowing that we are in relationship with the plants on this planet. We know that plants help us heal. It makes sense that they might also guide and inspire us to know the way, our way. These helpers for us can absolutely be a part of nature because we are a part of nature. This is psychic author and intuition guide, Aimée Cartier. And today on the Own Your Intuition show, if you just joined us on the radio, we are talking about plant medicine, guides in the form of plants, and we're going to be tying that to some springtime inspirations in a moment. So how do you know your healing plants? I find in many circumstances that we humans like to overcomplicate things, especially ethereal or magical things. We are trained in our K-12 education to believe that there must be logic in every equation, which just isn't true. The world is very mysterious. Synchronicities abound. We humans don't know it all. Synchronicities exist that we couldn't possibly orchestrate. So when it comes to the ethereal, my advice is don't overcomplicate it. Truly, in my experience, most things, especially ethereal things, are far simpler than your mind would lead you to believe. It reminds me of a Paulo Coelho quote from The Alchemist. It goes like this. Did you learn anything? The Englishman asked, eager to hear what it might be. I learned that the world has a soul, and that whoever understands that soul can also understand the language of things. But above all, I learned that these things are all so simple that they could be written on the surface of an emerald. It's simple. How will you know your plant's medicine? By paying attention to what you are drawn to. For me, I recognize my medicine plants in the same way I tell my animal guides. I am drawn to them. I mentioned that way before I ever experienced Tulsi growing in the ground, I had at one point in the grocery aisle seen a tea that I can't remember what it's called right now, but it's like rose and Tulsi. And I felt interested in that. My body was like, that sounds good. I'm going to try it. And for a very long time, it was one of my favorite teas altogether. It was simple. I was standing in the grocery store and I was drawn to it. You might also be drawn to how a flower looks. Cosmos are one of my favorite flowers. And while it's not necessarily a medicinal plant, meaning I don't ingest it, it's so healing and lovely for me to see it. Every time my eye lands on it in the summer, because I planted in our yard, I just feel light and free. So even if you don't have a seed farmer friend, you can start to notice what you're drawn to. For example, get thee to a tea shop or a flower shop. If you can't do that, then look on the internet and see if you find plants that are used for conditions that you have or would like to have, for soothing, for example, or stress relief. Chamomile, ashwanga, rose, lavender, all of those come to my mind immediately. Then, this is where it ties in with spring. Get yourself some seeds or a plant. You can experiment with sacred plant medicine by growing them yourself. You can actually use it as a way of tending sacredness and prayer. I've got some ideas for you about that, and I'll get to it in a second. But even if you don't ingest these herbs or flowers, you can grow them, nurture them, look at them, smell them. I try to grow the plant medicines that I am drawn to in my garden. I usually have a giant pot of Tulsi right next to my studio. On my way into my studio, which is where I meditate, journal, where I do readings, where I teach classes, I usually take a leaf off and eat it in the summer when it's growing. My studio also happens to have a deck that overlooks our pond, which is where we swim and play all summer long. So I love having fragrant medicinal plants in pots on the deck there, ones that soothe the senses and spirit, ones that smell delightful, so that you get to inhale this goodness as you are sitting in a chair by the pond in our yard. In addition to Tulsi, I also usually grow chamomile there in a giant pot because, again, I love the smell and want to live in a vat of it. And I find it very soothing and calming, German chamomile especially. And sweet peas are also a favorite of mine down in this area of our yard because they just smell so good. I also plant them just outside of our back door near where we eat dinner most summer nights. If you are just tuning in to the radio, this is the Own Your Intuition program, and I am your host, psychic author, and intuitive guide, Aimé Cartier. And today we are talking about plants that are medicines for us, how to identify which ones work for us or our body needs or likes. And now we're going to talk about some ways that you can use these in alignment with spring. So here are some ideas on what you can do with your plant medicine to inspire you to cultivate more sacredness with plants. If you don't have a garden space, you can do most of these ideas with pots and some potting soil. You can grow these plants and make oil. It's actually very easy to do. I try to make myself chamomile oil every year because, as I've already said, I love it. So I keep it in my shower and I put it on after washing my body all year long because I love it. And I sometimes put it on Epsom salt and put it in the bath with me as well. One year when my chamomile didn't come up, I actually biked down the road to my friend's house every week or two to pick from her chamomile flowers so that I could make my chamomile oil to use throughout the winter because I love it so much. And it is very simple to do this. This same friend of mine, Rachel, taught me how to do it. If it speaks to you, Google it. It's truly easy to make oil from a lot of herbs. Some other ideas are, when I plant seeds, I often say prayers. I breathe into the seed or hold them in my hand while saying a prayer before putting them in the ground. You could also plant a spirit garden and fill it with plants that either smell lovely, feel healing to you, or satisfy your senses in some way. I've been suggesting this to my students for years in our exploration of prayer in my Own Your Intuition program and making prayer your own. And I've seen the spirit garden of one of my students. Right next to it, she has a stump for sitting on. It's part of her self-care, prayer, meditation practice. She tells me that sometimes she just sits there to tune into herself and watch beautiful things grow. It works wonder for the being. Before the noxious weed Morning Glory took over parts of our property, my husband used to change the shape of the garden he built every year, making spirals or different shapes. So that's another way you might experiment with planting your medicinal plants and making it sacred and lovely. You could also plant what I kind of think of as a gratitude or give back to the earth garden. You could do this by planting things that butterflies or birds love, for example. I have a friend who plants rows and rows of sunflowers every year that are just offerings for the birds. Anything that you can plant that is native to the area in which you live will support beneficial insects also, which support birds because that's what birds eat. So when doing a gratitude garden, it's often really, really useful to plant native species to wherever it is that you live. Another idea is eating flowers. This is another one of my favorite things. Lots and lots of flowers are edible, including roses and pansies and nasturtium, for example. Chamomile, also mentioned already. So I've made gardens that were all edible flowers. I pick them and I place them as the finishing touches on our salads all throughout the summer. You can, for example, get pansies from the store in the spring and use them later for your salad in the summer. Personally, I would have them in the ground for a few months before I ate them, though. And that's just to ensure that any pesticides that were put on them prior to your buying them don't get into your food. It depends on where you buy them. If you can buy organic right off the bat, organic plants, then wonderful. I have a friend who decorates birthday cakes with dahlia petals, which can also be eaten. Again, I would make sure I either grew these flowers or were certain that they were organic and had no pesticides before I ever put them into anything I was eating. One of the things both my daughter and I love to do is to take baths with fresh flowers in them. Again, only organically grown flowers. I use flowers that we grow in our yard. I also like to make tiny satchels of these fresh flowers for friends' baths too in the summer. I just place them in a plastic bag, a small plastic bag with a damp paper towel inside, and suggest that they keep them in the fridge until they bathe. I use either scented flowers or herbs like rose, obviously, or like mint or rosemary or lavender or all of the above. I usually just put in anything that's delightfully smelly into my baths. So all the things I mentioned and more. And so sometimes there are things that provide a scent, a lovely scent. And sometimes they are just flowers that are bright and beautiful, like dahlias, and gorgeous to look at while you are soaking your bones. And the last idea I'm going to mention today, by way of creating a sacred relationship or a more mindful and sacred relationship with plant beings and all of the creatures that live around us, is letting your grass and your dandelions grow. Maybe it sounds funny, but this is enormously useful for the insects and birds where you live. The health of all species makes the health of the whole. So why not put your mowing off and give the small beasties around you a little treat? Because dandelions are food for beneficial bugs. They serve as a source of food for pollinators. They help aerate the soil, and dandelions are actually edible. My kids pop them straight into their mouths, actually. For something a little more subtle, you can pull them apart and sprinkle the tiny yellow petals on your salad or on your avocado toast, for example. If that is something you like, obviously it is something I like. Dandelions contain high amounts of vitamin A, C, and K, along with several minerals such as calcium. And the roots can be made into tea. That's just all kinds of good for you. But even if you're not that motivated to cultivate them to use for yourself, leaving them put for a while is very helpful for all the creatures in your area, especially during the springtime when the sources of pollen nectar are still slim. So, in conclusion, the natural world, including plants, as we are speaking of today, can be potent spirit allies for each of us. The essence of a plant, what they represent, or what their natural gifts are, can provide key messages to you. For example, if you are someone innately drawn to these things, you might have a whole wide array of natural allies. I have a student like this who the bulk of her spirit guide connections come through animals and plants. It is absolutely natural for her and for all of us. Remember, we are a part of the same whole, this beloved earth. In some Native American traditions, the natural world and everything in it is referred to as all our relations. That just seems to sum it up for me perfectly. Okay. I hope some of these ideas inspire you to lean into exploring a relationship with your plant guides and healers, leaning into helping the earth, and leaning into aligning with the sustainable rhythms of nature, specifically right now, the season of spring, where planting and new beginning is literally happening around us everywhere in the Northern Hemisphere. Happy planting. This is Aimee Cartier. Thanks for listening. Are you ready to gather with others virtually who are also committed to understanding their own innate power, i.e. their intuition? Would you like tools and support in helping you master your intuition as you go along? If you love the Own Your Intuition show, you would love my program of the same name. You'll get all the tools and have ample time to practice, get support and cheerleading as you learn to master them and have fun. You can find out more and sign up at aimeecartier.com/ownyourintuition. all my love.
I am but a part of this. All I am is all I give. Everything that comes to me comes as sure as I will breathe.